Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show, featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy!
Oh, let's get back to the phones and see what is up.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, is this Tom Sharpling?
Yes, this is Tom.
Hey, Tom, this is Skip Magellan of the U.S. Postal Service. I'm your mail carrier.
Skip, hey, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, I wanted to thank you. You delivered a package, an Amazon package for me, and you put it on my back porch during the snowstorm, which was fantastic, and you even put it in a plastic bag, which kept it dry, and thank you so much. That was really nice of you.
Of course. I mean, that's what I do, and it was no problem at all. And I want to say, I was going to take a chance and leave it on the front stoop, but it looked very wet, so I took it around back. I just want to make sure that you actually got it, because I wasn't sure if my writing on the note that I left in the mailbox was legible. My fingers were so cold that day. I was like, they're frozen.
It's brutal out. Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
Of course. Man, that was quite a day. I barely made it back to the post office that night. The roads were so treacherous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been rough. I mean, I'm glad you made it back okay when everything was so snowy and icy then. And I really appreciate the effort too.
Of course, you know, it's my job, and you know the motto: neither rain nor snow, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question. What is this, like a radio show or something? What is it?
Yeah, it's like an online show. It's like a kind of a call-in type show. Yeah.
Oh.
I'll talk about what's been going on with things, you know, current events and whatnot, and kind of a little bit of everything.
That's really cool. Wow. I didn't even know that. Mm-hmm. Hey, Medic, I could get your take on this Brian Williams thing.
Yeah, I guess.
What do you make of this?
Well, he got suspended today for 6 months.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Really?
Yeah, it just came down. He just got suspended for 6 months. And
wow, hard to come back from that, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's enough time that he can get some distance from all this stuff now. But he's never been my all-time favorite guy. So not that I'm rude against him, but it's not surprising when people kind of do that thing where they go on a lot of talk shows and
right, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, I do. I'll tell you one thing about this guy.
Uh huh.
He is in deep trouble with the Postmaster General.
Brian Williams is.
Yeah, yeah.
How so?
Well, you know, they're doing all this checking into his reporting and his public appearances and stuff, and apparently, back in 2007, he did a speech for the higher-ups at the Postal Service, and he said that he worked as a mail carrier for a summer when he was younger.
Really?
And of course, no one checked on it because it was Brian Williams, America's funniest newsman, right?
Yeah, he is America's funniest newsman.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, word on the mail route is that it's a total BS hit.
That he was a mail carrier.
Oh, yeah. He never slung the white envelope.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Really?
I'll tell you, the closest that Wimple Dimple ever got to the Postal Service is when he interviewed Ben Gibbard last October on Brian Williams' Indie Rock Halloween special. Did you catch that?
No. I did not see... what was it? Brian Williams?
Indie Rock Halloween special. I think the best part was when Spoon did Monster Mash.
Well, I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah, it didn't get great ratings.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah.
I guess music is not always the highest rated stuff when they do specials and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear about Ben Gibbard breaking his arm the other day? Did you see that?
No.
He did, yeah. He had a photo on Instagram. From what I heard, he was running a marathon while carrying a bear that was taped to an alligator, and then he slipped on a wet magazine and he blew out his forearm. It was really sick.
Wow. He was carrying a bear taped to an alligator.
Yeah, it's this new extreme, super extreme marathoning that people do.
I mean, that's beyond extreme.
Yeah, and like some people will like carry chainsaws the whole way.
While
over their head, just waving them around.
While they're running a marathon.
Yeah, yeah. Very dangerous, very treacherous.
It sounds extremely treacherous.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
I don't know.
That's something else.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to Brian Williams,
mm-hmm.
lying about being a mailman is not something you want to ever do. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know it's a cliche, but what Newman said on Seinfeld is true. When you control the mail, you control infotainment.
Wait, from Seinfeld, the quote Newman, his Seinfeld's rival on the show,
yeah.
was a mail carrier. He said, well, it's information. He said, when you control the mail, you control information. You said,
oh, no.
Why? You said infotainment.
That's what I thought it was.
No, it's information.
Guess who got that tattooed on his shoulder?
You did? You got
yep.
that? You got, when you control the mail, you control infotainment tattooed on your shoulder.
Well, I did the ellipses between control and infotainment.
You know,
it was a double ellipsis.
Okay, so like six.
Like six of them, yeah.
Wow, that's a pretty extreme tattoo to not get confirmation on before you kind of pull the trigger on.
I feel very foolish now.
Uh-huh.
Well, I feel like a juvenile buffoon.
Juvenile buffoon.
I do. Well, look, anyway,
mm-hmm.
Brian Williams lying his wimple off about this only ends up taking away from those celebrities who actually did their time as mail deliverers, you know, before they made it big, of course.
Huh. Like who, which celebrities were mail carriers before they made it?
Off the top of my head, Gerald Ford, John Wayne, Jackie Gleason, Mickey Mantle, Cornelius Bumpus from the Doobie Brothers, Charles Lindbergh, who else? Don Cheadle, Paul Stanley. Drop my wallet.
Oh.
I gotta get a chain for this thing. I'm sick of it.
It's a thing now. Maybe it's the winter is why it just seems to happen in the winter.
Do you drop your wallet often?
Occasionally.
It's very frustrating.
Do you know where I dropped my... You'll never guess. The last time I dropped my wallet was about 4 days ago.
Right.
You'll never guess what it fell in.
Pudding?
No, it was not pudding. It was a bowl of... Like a bowl of dog food.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was the dog food moist?
It was moist.
How moist was it?
It was very moist.
Ugh, that's sick. And then your wallet got all moist, too.
My wallet was so moist that
There's nothing worse than moist leather.
I don't know how to unmoisten it.
I wonder if you could just pop that in the microwave. There has to be like an anti-moist setting. I'm guessing like 32 seconds.
You know, it's worth looking into.
It is.
Because I did not like the way my wallet felt after
that. Who else? I'm trying to think if there were a couple more famous
mail carriers.
Oh, Justin Timberlake, A.J. Foyt, Marilyn Monroe, Evelyn Champagne King, Stephen Hawking, Chris Mars, C. Everett Koop, I think, was one, Kirk Douglas, who else? Vern Troyer, Winston Churchill, of course, Bjorn Borg, Ernest Borgnine, Kurt Weill, Albert Einstein, G.G. Allen, Julius Erving, Harpo Marx, Richard Marx, Mark Spitz, Spitz Dix from Fear, Pope Francis. And that's just to name a couple.
A couple mail carriers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those heroes who have lugged the brown satchel.
Ugh. The brown satchel. That's what you call it?
Yeah.
The heroes who lugged the brown satchel.
Yeah. You make it sound disgusting. It's not, though.
Well, it's a weird turn of phrase.
Well, you know who else had a mail route?
Who's that?
Joe Namath.
The football star.
He did, yeah. Yep.
Huh.
Oh, man, speaking of, have you heard this thing called the Joe Show? It's this guy, he's from Newbridge, and his name is, Brother Ron.
Yeah, Brother Ron.
Okay. Have you heard it?
Ugh.
Well, he does this thing on his podcast, this thing where he does, it's like a talk show between the two unlikeliest people, Joe Walsh from the, you know, the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
and Joe Namath.
Yep.
And his imitations are spot on. I'm really good at imitations, but I'm not as good as he is. So it's like, it's something like, well, hey, Joe Namath, how's it going today? I just got off tour with the Eagles. And then Joe Namath will say, oh, well, I haven't played football for quite a while, but when I did play, I had a lot of fun until my knees got broken during a play.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Something like that.
Well, I got to say, Skip, Brother Ron stole that from me. The whole Joe Show thing was my routine that I've been doing for a while now. And that's my brother, Ron, and he just took it from me. He's been wholesaling that ever since he heard me do it. He decided to just take it and not give me any credit for it.
You don't have to do this, Tom.
I don't have to do what?
Just let someone else have some notoriety, okay? It's not a big deal. There's enough fame for everyone out there.
There's enough fame. Okay, that's what it's all about. Yeah. Fame.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's enough for everyone. Look at Bob Dylan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Another mailman.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He sorted mail in Hibbing when he was just out of high school. You know that song, Boots of Spanish Leather?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about him accidentally dropping a very important package down a storm drain once.
The song Boots of Spanish Leather.
Yep, yeah, yeah. The package contained these very expensive Spanish boots, and Bob knew that he was going to be in huge trouble. So you know what he did?
What?
He split for New York City the next day.
Uh-huh.
And that's what brought him out there. He arrived at Woody Guthrie's bedside in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
still wearing his mailman shorts.
So when he... So the famous time when he went to visit Woody Guthrie...
Yep.
In the hospital, he was still dressed like a mailman.
Well, he had the shorts on, yeah.
Okay.
It was February, too, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like, what's he trying to prove? Okay, you grew up where it's cold.
Yeah, you can handle it. I don't know what the big deal is.
I don't know. Hey, did you hear what he said at that Grammy thing the other night? I think it was like a pre-Grammy
like
award ceremony.
Yeah, like some honorees or something that took place. And he did this speech that, for him, it's strange. He's such a private person. But he did this extended speech where he kind of, it was strangely, like, bitter about, like, Lieber and Stoller and Merle Haggard and Tom T. Hall. All these peers, I guess, of his, more or less. And he kind of used it as a platform to vent about these guys who he did not like or felt liked him, which I thought was...
That's very odd, yeah, to do that when you're being honored. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know much about Tom T. Hall or Merle Haggard, but, you know, I do like this band I saw on TV the other day called Georgia State Line.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of like if Winger played country.
Georgia State Line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got to hear this stuff. It's really good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sounds Winger playing country? That sounds. Yeah. That might not be for me.
Wait till you hear it. Mm-hmm. You know, have you seen this transcript of Dylan's speech?
No.
Well, you know, everyone's talking about his other stuff, but no one's commenting on the part where he says that the thing that he regrets most in life was being mean to Neil Diamond at the last waltz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he then said that Neil's song Porcupine Pie is as good as anything he's ever written.
The song, Porcupine
Pie. You heard the song?
Sure.
It's really good.
Ugh, it's not. Okay.
You don't like it?
I think it's uniquely bad.
Oh, well. You know, he also said that he wants to exsanguinate Ross Valerie, the bassist from Journey. I don't know why.
I didn't hear any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I should get rolling. You know, and I've heard good things about this Genesis documentary. Not really my scene, but I hope you like it. All right, well, it was great to talk to you, Tom.
Wait. Hold on a second. What did you just say about the Genesis documentary?
Yeah, I just said that that's not really my scene. I'm into garage rock.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how did you know that the Genesis documentary was in the package that I ordered, the one you put on my back porch?
Oh, you know how shoddily Amazon packs those boxes of theirs. It came open in transit.
How shoddily they pack their things? I think their things, their packaging is amazing. It's not shoddy at all.
All right. The package didn't come open.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you one thing. Those Amazonians pack those things tighter than Barry Gibb's pants on the Spirits Having Flown tour.
Yeah. No, the Amazon packaging is
pretty tight.
It's pretty tight.
Speaking of... Do you remember this Bee Gees song that went, "Girl, you're being a bitch, and it's the last thing I need from you"? I'm having no luck finding this thing on iTunes, and I'm 99% sure that it's on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Well, it's deaf. That is, you're, well, you're...
But let me sing it again. "Girl, you're being a bitch, and it's the last thing I need from you." I'm not sure which guy sang it.
Well, it's kind of sounds like you're doing Barry.
Merv.
Who?
Merv?
Merv. There was no Bee Gee named Merv.
Oh.
But I don't know that song. I know it's not on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. But what I do want to know, Skip, is how you knew that Genesis DVD was in my package.
I was doing a random safety scan song with it.
What's that?
I was doing a random safety scan, and I saw what was in it.
What is a safety scan? A random safety scan?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I x-ray random packages on my truck to make sure there's nothing like Racine or bovine flu or anthrax or any other kind of thrax in the packages. Mm-hmm. It's a service I provide free of charge because I care, Tom.
And what are you x-raying these packages with?
Well, I have a portable handheld x-ray device. Kern Medical Supplies makes them to see if people have the early stages of pre-flagrant facets, which is, of course, a turbo version of post-flagrant rickets. Hard to detect without an x-ray.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, that is a complete invasion of people's privacy that your x-raying packages.
But I'm keeping people safe, Tom.
Well, you know, it's not up to you to determine that, and it's wrong, and you know, you're lucky I don't report you. Like, I could report you to the police for that.
Why are you mad? It's not like you have anything embarrassing in your packages like Judge Davies.
Okay, well, that's nobody's business what's in anybody's package.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Judge Davies has all these devices that he ordered from Germany. One of them, strap yourself in. One of them was a device that was made out of... hardened bratwurst on a rotary telephone dial.
Well, I just bleeped that.
How much of it?
Almost all of it.
Oh.
It had no place. It has no place.
Okay. But I'll tell you, I do give him credit for this. He has been on the cover of Device Monthly 7 times. He's a legend in that world. He even has his own hot sauce.
Device Monthly?
Yeah.
That's a magazine?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I can't say the name of the hot sauce over the phone, though. I'd be jailed because it's so pornographic.
I don't like any of this at all.
But you do like that I help people, though, right?
How are you helping people?
Well, in addition to the aforementioned courtesy x-rays, I turn people on to things they might not know about otherwise.
And how are you turning people on to things they don't know about?
Well, say during one of my courtesy x-rays, I see someone has ordered or eBayed a movie or a book. I'll, in turn, recommend something else that they might like that they might not know about.
Uh-huh.
Like, take this. When Bryce Prefontaine ordered Dick's Picks Volume 36,
yeah,
I recommended to him Fish's A Picture of Nectar.
Okay.
Yeah. Or when Sheila Larson ordered Halloween 2,
mm-hmm,
I recommended Trenel Strauss's For Whom the Table Saw Tolls.
Uh-huh.
Or like when you got that big box from Third Man Records last year. I slipped my band's CD through the crack in your car window.
Wait, what did you do? You slipped a CD where?
Through the crack in your car window.
Through the crack in my car window?
Yeah, your window is rolled down a little bit. I popped it in there.
So you... Wait, are you in the band The Raging Monarchs?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Because I had found a CD in my car.
Yeah.
And I had no idea how it got there. I assumed it maybe I'd opened mail at the station and it fell out of my bag or something. But I didn't remember doing that.
Right.
And I got to tell you, that Raging Monarch CDs, that's some of the best garage rock, you know, I've heard in ages. You know, it's like as good as anything on, you know, Goner or Hozak.
Wow.
Yeah, I listen to that CD every day for months.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, that's so nice to hear. We really worked hard on it, and we all agreed that we wanted it to sound warm yet punchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's really kind of authentic without kind of having that like a retro
feel to it.
Like you actually capture the spirit of garage rock without. It's not like you're doing like a museum.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and the one thing is, I was, you know, there were no credits really on it. There was like very few credits listed because I was to figure out even who was behind this thing.
Well, you know, we want to keep some mystery to it. We don't want people to know everything about it, you know.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it was really... Your band's really pretty rockin', Skip.
Thank you. Thanks.
It's like I would love to see you guys live.
Oh, well, no chance of that happening, unfortunately. The Raging Monarchs are a done deal. It was a very bad ending.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, you know, little Steven?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. You know, of course he's one of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band's four guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he heard our album, It's a Doggy Dog World, and he flipped over it. He loved it. So he gets us to come over to Norway last year to play the house band on his series Lilyhammer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he plays this kind of New York mob guy who's kind of in witness protection over in Norway.
Yeah, Little Steven has a show that's, what, on Netflix, I believe?
It's a Netflix original, yeah.
And it's called Lilyhammer? Hammer?
Hammer, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so he has that show. So he asked you guys to be on it.
Yeah, I mean, how cool a break is that? Really, really, that's kind of a big time for a band like us, right?
Sure, oh yeah.
So we go over there and everything's awesome. Steven is totally cool. He let me wear one of his silken bandanas one night. And I'll tell you one thing.
What's that?
It was a total IPD.
An IPD.
Yeah.
What is an IPD?
An instant panty dropper? Why?
Ugh. That's awful.
It is awesome.
I said awful.
Oh. Well, I guess we'll agree to disagree on that one. But anyway, Stephen had these great Bruce Springsteen stories.
Oh, really? I'm sure he's got plenty of them.
Did you know that Bruce is obsessed with dying poor?
You know, a few years ago, I had done an interview with a guy who had written a book about Bruce Springsteen claiming the same thing. But it turned out that guy was, I guess the simplest way to say it, that guy was fraudulent. The book was not real. His version of the book was not real.
Huh. Well, I don't know anything about this guy that you speak of, but what he said is true. Bruce is terrified of being penniless.
Really?
Yeah. He sells magazine subscriptions when he's on tour. How weird is that?
Bruce Springsteen does.
He does. He sells them before the show, sells them after the show, sells them during the show.
Wait, during his show?
Yeah.
Like during a Bruce Springsteen concert?
Yep. Like in a stadium.
He sells magazine subscriptions.
He does. When he goes out into the crowd during those super long breakdowns, like in that song, what's it called? Mary's Place?
Uh-huh.
Has a super long, dragged-out thing. He's down there in the crowd pitching Red Book and Men's Health subscriptions to fans.
Pitching them?
Yeah.
That sounds insane.
He's handing them these little forms, and they fill them out, and he puts them in his pocket.
Oh, that's
so weird.
That seems just ludicrous.
Maybe you're ludicrous.
Well, maybe I'm ludicrous.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds, I'm still going to say, what you just said sounds ludicrous.
Okay. Well, anyway, so everything's going great over there. We're all having a blast.
Uh-huh.
But then, I don't know, I guess I got a little too comfortable with the other actors and the crew. I start pulling these stunts.
Ugh, I don't like where this is going. Like, yeah. Like what kind of stunts were you pulling?
Well, I got really drunk one night, and I went to the Olympic bobsled run, you know, from the actual Olympics that they held there.
Mm-hmm.
And I slid down it.
Okay. Well, that just sounds dangerous. That doesn't really sound like a stunt.
Well, I used little Steven's 1958 Strat as a sled.
So you went down the bobsled run on top of little Steven's, probably what his most treasured guitar is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He was livid.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
He tried to put it somewhere, what was left of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, to make it worse, I was always imitating the Norwegian accent around the crew. And I've got a pretty good ear for accents. I'm pretty good at them.
Okay.
So, like, I would go, you guys want some fish? How's the fish today?
Oh.
Do you want more fish today?
This is your act. This is your imitation of the people of Norway.
Yeah.
Well, that.
What kind of fish today?
I've never been to Norway, and that is super, super insulting and inaccurate. I've never even been there, and I know how insulting that is.
Oh man. Well, I was also doing a lot of USA Number One stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was telling them that we invented heat and snow plows and that they'd all be speaking Japanese if it wasn't for good old Uncle Stan.
Uh-huh. Uncle Stan.
Yeah.
Well, it's Uncle Sam, not Uncle Stan.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And you have no... So they'd be speaking Japanese if it wasn't for us.
Are you sure it's Uncle Sam?
I'm positive it's Uncle Sam.
Great. Guess who got that tattooed on him?
What did you get? Uncle Stan?
Uncle Stan will crush you.
Well, even if you got Uncle Sam right, the right. Will crush you is not a thing.
Sure it is, isn't it? I thought that was the Marine thing.
Oh,
I thought Semper Fi meant we will crush you.
Okay, well, you're not a Marine, though, are you?
I could be, though.
Okay.
I have a lot of push-ups in my life.
Sure, but that's neither here nor there. You're not supposed to go get Marine tattoos on you if you could have been a Marine.
Wait, what did you say? That's neither what?
Neither here nor there.
I thought it was, that's neither here nor there. Like you're comforting a woman named Nora.
You,
here, Nora.
Nope.
There,
no,
there.
That's not it. Nope.
Huh, okay.
I hope you didn't get that tattooed on you.
I'm going to tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I guess you just, that's your gain now. That you didn't get that tattooed on you.
I like that, yeah. You're gain now.
Uh-huh.
You're I gonna, get that tattoo.
You are. I knew you were going to get that tattoo. You're not. You can't resist, can you?
I can't. I hear things and then they pop and I want them on me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right?
Sure.
Also, I was doing mucho rails during the shoot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When I go on vacation, I go on vacation, Tom.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you're in Norway with your band, lucky enough to get a break to be on this show.
Right, right.
And then you're just off the, going, you're, oh, no pun intended, off the rails.
Right. Oh, good one.
Yeah. When you were on the rails.
Like, well, so it all comes to a head one day.
Uh-huh.
And I got really out of control, and I threw this major tantrum during a take.
Okay.
They were getting close-ups of everybody in the band, and I just didn't feel like I was getting enough screen time, enough glory.
Uh-huh.
So I got really mad, and I went up to the camera, and I ripped it off the tripod.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up kicking it through the snow like a soccer ball for a mile until it went into a semi-frozen lake.
You kicked the camera for a mile?
Yeah, just kicking it.
Yeah.
And then the entire crew plus little Steven chased me. Can you imagine little Steven running?
I can't.
Yeah, it's tough stuff. So they chased me through the woods for 3 days.
3 days you were getting chased.
Yeah, I barely survived. All I had to eat were snow steaks.
What is a snow steak?
They're just snowballs that I made into the shape of steaks. They didn't really taste like steak, Tom.
No, they probably tasted like snow.
Yeah, no matter how much A1 sauce you put on, they still just taste like snow.
Wait, you had A1 sauce on you?
Yes. Why?
That's the most troubling thing I've ever heard in the history of this show.
You know what's more troubling?
What's that?
When they found me?
Yeah.
They whipped my bare haunches with little Steven's hard frozen bandanas. They froze them.
They froze his bandanas?
They dipped them in water and then they froze them in hopes that they would be able to do a haunch beating.
And they, sounds like they did it.
They did do that. And while they were doing it, those cruel new Norwegian bastards would yell stuff like, "You unkloggen!"
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, what does "you unkloggen" mean?
Well, it translates loosely to "you annoying piece of damp, fetid trash with no homeland to speak of." Very insulting.
Yeah, unkloggen. I didn't know. Okay.
They took my passport and they fed it to an ice walrus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't even know those things existed. This thing was scary, Tom. It was like straight out of 20,000 Leaps Beneath the Sea.
Leaps? It's, okay, 20,000 Leagues Beneath the Sea.
What? Well, like sports leagues?
No, like...
People can't breathe under the water. Even athletes are in shape, though, but I don't think they could do that either.
Yeah, I don't think they could as well, but...
I mean, they have some decent lung capacity, right? Mm.
Athletes?
Yeah.
I'm sure they do, because they're in really good shape.
Probably not bowlers, though. You can't really call that an athlete, can you?
A bowler? I don't think so. You know, baseball players get a rap. There was this guy, John Kruk. Was at an airport once, and a woman said to him, she said, "Hey, it's that, you're John Kruk, you're an athlete." And he said, "Lady, I'm not an athlete, I'm a baseball player."
Oh, was he a load or something?
Well, he was not small, yeah, but he was baseball. The whole point is that baseball players they're not like football players or hockey players or basketball players where they're in running around nonstop.
I think I catch your drift there, Tom.
Okay, so you didn't get what I said.
I didn't until just now, no.
Yeah, okay, well.
But so anyway, I was stuck in Norway for a month.
Uh-huh.
I had no passport. I ended up having to work in a fishery just to make enough whatever their money's called, to get home.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why your mail is being delivered by my fill-in, Rodney, that whole time.
Oh, Rodney. That guy.
What did he do?
Well, it was just troubling, this guy who took your route over.
Right.
He would just kind of like, when he would carry the pack, when he would be kind of like going across everybody's lawn.
Right.
He kind of had this weird, like, limp move. Like he would like drag, like he had a dead leg or something.
We call him the dead leg meanderer.
Yeah, but he didn't, because I would watch him, as soon as he would finish delivering all the packages, he would then walk normally to his mail truck.
He's faking that?
It was strange, yeah.
That little turd.
It was very weird. That guy, I was glad you were back, Skip.
Thanks. Anyway, I'm glad to be back, and I'm lucky to be back here, you know, with my crotch marbles intact.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I got the job back, you know. And I'm sorry, that was a long story, but basically that's the reason I'm out of the music business. And it's just too dangerous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, so from here on out, I'm sticking to postalnography.
What's that?
Postalnography?
What is postalnography?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, you know how a lot of today's erotic entertainment is so specialized?
I don't exactly know what you mean, no.
Well, like indie porn, for example.
Okay, I don't know what indie porn is.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Wow, well, there's all these X-rated movies that are being made now that are aimed at you know, kind of aging indie rockers.
Porno movies.
Yeah.
Aimed at, like, music, like indie rockers.
Exactly, yeah, people who are into that stuff.
I have never heard of these.
Yeah.
Like, do you know, like, what's the name of one? Give me the name of one.
I'll try to think of one for you. There's the Husker Dude, Rocket from My Pants, The Breeders, Immodest Mouth, Archie and Loaf. There's a Latino one called My Blood e Valentine, Flaming Lips, Yolo Bango, Captain Beefheart, STD Sound System, Morrissey, Fella Cooties, Belle and Seb's Ass, She's On. That's a stretch, right?
That sounds like a stretch, yeah.
Yeah. Bright Eyes, Sleater, Kenny, Ron Moans Leaves Home, Good Speed, You Black Umpire, what else is there? Dirty Projectors, Bikini Jill, Bone Eve Here. You'll never guess what I just saw.
What did you just see?
I just saw a mouse with a very elaborate cape.
Uh-huh.
What else is there? VD on the Radio, Built to Spill My...
Well, I just had to bleep you.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Well, that's just to name a couple.
Uh-huh. Well,
yeah.
Those titles are so truly disturbing,
well,
Skip.
I know, they are, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
That's why my postalnography films are going to be way more tasteful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm going to be the Larry Flint of postal-centric erotic films, Tom.
Oh, so they're going to be tasteful like Larry Flint's work.
Oh, his stuff is very tasteful. I've already written two features.
Okay.
Yeah.
What features have you written?
Well, one's called Fondle My Mailbag, and the other one's called Side Door Deliveries.
I don't even know what you mean by side door deliveries.
Well, what door should the deliveries go to, smarty pants?
You know, Skip, I don't want to discuss any of this on the show or with you off the show. I don't want to discuss any of this.
Oof, well, that's going to make our relationship very difficult.
How so?
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
You are going to help me write these things.
Oh, okay.
I know you subscribe to those screenwriting magazines like Screen Scribe and Movie Pencil.
Uh-huh.
You got to know what you're doing, right?
Yeah, well, it's none of your business that you know that, but...
Well,
It's true.
Come on, I need you to help me with the dialogue and the story. I can't wait to hear your words coming out of my mouth.
Out of your mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how are they going to be coming out of your mouth?
I'm the star of these movies.
Oh.
Yeah. My erotic film star name is Ulysses S. Mail. U.S. Mail. And Tom?
What?
Guess how mail is spelled.
Well, let me go out on a limb here. I'm going to assume.
Uh-huh.
It's a shot in the dark.
Right.
You're spelling mail M-A-L-E, not M-A-I-L.
Wait. What kind of sorcerer are you?
So, it's not the hard... It was just a guess. I'm not a sorcerer. And, yeah, Skip, no, I'm not going to write these things for you.
Oh, well, then I hope you don't mind never getting mail again.
Well, you cannot do that.
I can, too. I have and I will.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I learned from the best of them. Keith Garfinkel, may he deliver in peace.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was stabbed.
Keith Garfinkel.
Yeah.
So he taught you how to do this?
He did, yeah.
Uh-huh. But
come on! Oh, come on.
What's going on?
Well, I've been in the drive-thru at Fudgeburger this whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, super long line. They're giving away fudge fries with every Fudgezilla burger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't like that? It's super Yummers.
Oh, I don't like
that. Oh, total Yummers. Have you ever heard that before?
Yummers?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, my friend Michael turned me on to it. He loves saying it.
Yummers.
Yeah. Oh. Come on, you dinkleberries! Ugh, very frustrating. Come on. Yeah, my mail truck has two horns.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I heard the second horn there, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll see you in the writer's room, Tom.
Well...
You're gonna be there!
Skip, I'm not helping you with any of this stuff. It's not gonna happen. I think he hung up. Oh, boy. Oh, Skip. Skip, you're killing me.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne, segment producer Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.